Welcome, everyone, to Christ's Blessing on the 16th day of June, 2019. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers in our company and congregation and community and the fathers of fathers. So it's your day. Be celebrated and feel respected for all that you've done. We so love and appreciate you. And just remember that the father of one is the father of all. So I am looking forward to hearing from you today and finding out what's going on in your world. I'm going to take a call from Jerome. Hi, Jerome. Your line is on.
Love and light and peace and joy from the universe. And I've got some prayers for some family here.
Okay.
Elaine and Sarah and Andrew and Jackie. But thank you for Yeshua ben Yosef and everything you do with him and for us too.
Oh, you're so welcome. Now, Jerome, you were going a little fast. I didn't get the last two names.
Okay. Andrew.
Andrew.
And Jackie.
Okay.
That's perfect. That's perfect, Rhonda. But love and light.
Great. And God bless you, too. God and we'll just hold you up as someone who has cared for the children of many fathers.
Yes, we have. And the children that we love and light forever and always, too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So our prayers are with you, too.
Thanks again.
And we're just going to keep opening the line.
Okay.
To those who come on, we have Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Glenda. I just had eye surgery, and I have a precondition of corneal edema to start with. So now that eye is like completely fogged over. So if you could put in some prayers that heals, and they removed the cataract, and so
good.
You know,
good. That's usually a very successful surgery.
Yeah, it's going to take a while. I cannot see out of that eye. I'm like legally blind out of that eye now. So,
oh my gosh.
Prayers. Yeah, put in some prayers for, you know, the healing on that. So, yeah, it's a
well. I'm so sorry to hear about that, but the good news is it will heal, and
yes.
Then on the other side of the mountain, you'll have a brighter prospect of life.
Yes, this is true. So, yeah. Another lesson.
Okay. Learned. Well, you take care of yourself now, and we will keep you in our blessings.
Great. Thanks a lot. Love you.
You're welcome. And, Tony, I see you're on.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi. Hi.
I'm thinking about the solstice, which is coming up on Friday. It's going to be a good one. And, there were a couple of things I wanted to point out about it and discuss with you briefly.
Okay.
It has a couple of challenging aspects, and some of these can show up in patterns that can be look like they're supporting destructiveness and even war. But these are all surrounded by positive aspects that will help us. And I think it's one of those situations where God's grace and God's blessing is always there for us, as we know. And when we call on it and we recognize what's happening in a circumstance, we can really be more conscious and proactive with what's going on. So I see a lot of that for this solstice.
Okay.
So we have Saturn and Pluto together, and they're both with Pluto's with its south node, and Saturn is tracking backwards all the way until the equinox, 3 months from now. It's set tracking backwards with the south node of the moon. So there's this south node energy, which is really dominant with both Pluto and Saturn, and they're together. And so that resonates with old patterns. And things that are very deep, and this certainly can relate to oppression and old patterns of structure and structural dominance and where things kind of get misaligned. And they're physically opposing Mars and Mercury. Now, what's interesting is that south node, the moon with Saturn, it's about old patterns, ancient patterns. But the north node is with Mars and Mercury, and it looks like they're really kind of in a bad spot where they're being kind of pushed down. Personal will and our power of communication and our understanding and the workings of the mind. But the thing that's really remarkable in this is there is a trine from Neptune, which is deeply connected with the One Spirit. There's a trine that goes from Pisces, where Neptune is, down to the North Node and also Mars and Mercury. So this is an example of what I mentioned before. There are helpful ameliorating signs that are in this configuration, which is really striking. And that one in particular is like the balance that's trying to be worked out here between these old patterns representing themselves and making themselves aware, revealing themselves in our experience from the depths. Mm-hmm. Well, the Mars and Mercury are saying, okay, well, what can we do about this? We don't want to just feel trapped and oppressed. And the aware connection to the One Spirit puts in context our will and our understanding. So it gives us a place where we can kind of reframe and reconnect those things that may seem to be lost and disconnected in us, especially related to our understanding and the way our mind is functioning and our sense of direction and will. And of course, this resonates beautifully with everything that Yeshua has been giving you and sharing with us for years. So this seems to me to be a very, very significant. And there was this passage that popped right out at me today, in Love Without End, from God in Reality, and it seems to resonate here. Yeshua was talking about miracles, and he says, there must be a point where your confidence in the foundation of existence is greater than your anxiety and removes your dependency on personal illusions and limiting structures. So that passage, I'm sure what Yeshua's telling us about is something that's a continual opportunity. But this,
that's perfect.
This really resonates beautifully with what's happening in the solstice. And there's two other things I want to point out that are really helpful and graceful. The sun is going to be sextiled by Uranus. Pretty good. It's within 5 degrees. And so that has to do with us being awake, and it's with the asteroid Vesta, Uranus and Vesta, so the sacred fire and the power of awakening is making a sextile to the sun. So that's fortunate. Gives us the opportunity, increasing opportunity for awakening. Mm-hmm. But we have something even more striking and beautiful. Venus is 40 degrees to Uranus, exactly. And then Venus is in the middle of another 40-degree angle, so it's a binovial, which is very harmonious and has a lot of graceful potential. So there's a novial, a 40 degree from Venus to Uranus, which helps with that awakening. And there's another novial from Venus to Mercury. So the way this one is speaking to me in this is this aspect is telling us that love is the bridge from the mind to the light of consciousness. And this also seems to just resonate so beautifully with what Yeshua is continually trying to help us. So connection.
That is really beautiful. So that's really an amazing configuration. I did not look, thank you so much for that, Tony, because, you know, in my busy schedule and not knowing all that much about astrology, I didn't look for the actual configurations, but I asked for guidance on what to pass on to others. And what I was told was to look for sacred inspirations,
insights and revelations from the Holy Spirit and from the angels. And so that's why this week I put on sale our two essential oils, Holy Ground and Sacred Heart, because I felt that if we were in our Sacred Heart and we were looking for revelations from coming into our own sacred ground from higher ground, we would be given the answers that we need, even though the circumstances are challenging. But one of the things I'd like to cap off what everything you said, and that is that most of the challenging configurations have to do with the external world. And then Venus and Neptune and the gracious configurations really have to do with the internal world.
Yeah.
So we can find our grace within the struggle.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'd love to have that little conversation with you, and I love getting your insight and your take on it, too. Thank you.
Well, of course, you know I'm not an astrologer. I just keep my eye on the heavens because I like to always take in the whole picture. And, Tony, that's one reason we really appreciate your contributions, because most of us barely look 3 feet above our feet. You know, we watch to make sure we don't stumble on the ground. And it's really important to look up at the stars as well, and then to remember that we need to look for guidance and inspiration from higher ground spiritually, not just the heavens, but higher ground spiritually, because it's not embedded in these challenges.
Yeah.
I can feel, just feeling the world, I can feel that there are a lot of issues going on in the socio-political, environmental, economic realm that are still push and shove. And that would definitely be part of this retrograde Pluto-Saturn configuration.
Yeah.
And then there are potential conflicts that could erupt in the external world. And that would have a lot to do with whether our negotiations are skillful and we can withhold our aggressive temperament. So there you have the Mars and Mercury configuration.
Yeah.
And yes, it probably will be another 3 months before we see a clearing of the clouds and a showing of the rainbow. But in the meantime, we can use this time to pull ourselves out of the fog and above the fog, like being in an airplane. Just, you know, it's raining. It's just raining like gopher gravy down here on the earth. And we're wallowing in mud, and all of a sudden we're above the clouds and the sun is shining. And we say, wow, how did that happen? And then we have to remember the sun is always shining up there.
Yes.
So I see that as what we're called to look at in this solstice. And an interesting part of the timing, which you can confirm or deny, is I have heard and read from others that the effects of a solstice usually last about 3 months.
Yeah, these things carry on, and as patterns develop. So, for instance, this one will have an imprint that will actually last into next year because of the Saturn-Pluto thing. That's going to work itself out through the early part of next year for sure. But you're right, yeah, it would definitely carry through. And there's parts that it would definitely carry through from solstice to solstice, but we get a different boost and a rebalancing at the equinox. So it's really, so we have stillness at the solstices and then rebalance at the equinox. So it's kind of like centering and balancing. Isn't that
something to look forward to.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, my friend, and for everything that you do for our community and to be a servant of God. We really appreciate you, Tony.
You.
And your books are on their way.
Oh, yeah.
And while I'm saying that to you, I know some of you have already received your books. The rest of you who ordered in a pre-subscription reservation style will get your books next week. So we will be complete on getting all of the pre-reservations out. And I just want to express my gratitude to all of you for making this possible, because this has been a challenging year for all of us, and sometimes it's hard to pull together a party, you know, a real celebration, because we're all off doing either our own challenge or our own little private celebration, and not many of us are coming together right now for a big, old-fashioned, on the courthouse square lawn kind of jazz concert. I mean, it's not happening right now. But we need to make it happen, and we can make it happen. And actually coming together with your families today and making a point of pulling together your friends and your community for some positive reason is a really, really good thing to do, because the things we agree on are the things we're the strongest on. So when we agree on something to celebrate, to have a party about, it makes it more solid in our life. Okay, I'm going to take a few more calls. Nancy, I see you're on the phone. Hi.
Hi, Glenda. This is Nancy in Florida, and I just wanted to thank you and to thank Tony, too, for the 20th anniversary edition. It is so beautiful, and the color is so glorious. You look at it, and you feel a sense of comfort and peace. It's just great, and I've already started using the index, Tony. I'm working on judgment. That's my commitment right now. And I'm pretty good at recognizing when I'm judging. And I've gotten okay at controlling my mouth if those thoughts come into view. But the thoughts come. So I'm working on it, and I'm using the index to read all of the references, and I so appreciate the book, and the people in my group love receiving the books. I haven't distributed them all, but wow, they are so joyous when they get it in their hands. So thank you.
You know, Nancy, I worked on that color for over a month. That's why it took so much longer, because I knew exactly what I wanted. And it was a really, really hard, in fact, it's a color that could not have been produced 20 years ago. The printing and color industry has improved drastically. I mean, amazingly, by leaps and bounds in the last 20 years. You can kind of tell this if you go into a department store and you walk through, just look at men's shirts or women's dresses. Look at the color. They're unusual. They're colors you didn't see 20 years ago.
That's true.
It really is true. And I knew that we could get the color I wanted right now, and that it would communicate. I wanted it to contain the essence of that royal lavender, but also to be spiritually vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot of back and forth to get it. That's why it took a little longer to get your books, my friends, and I'm sorry about that, but this book was special.
Well, it was worth the wait, Glenda. It was worth the wait. I do have a prayer request for a friend. I think I've mentioned him before for our community. But
sure.
His name is Anton, and he developed shingles in his head and face.
Oh,
blisters have gone away, but he's having severe pain. And the pain medications that they've been giving him have been causing nausea. And he can't keep food down. So I think the nausea a little better. They've adjusted his medications. But he's lost tons of weight. So he really needs some prayer and blessing and loving energy to bring down that pain level and make those adjustments and just take advantage of all of the nutrition that he takes in. Take full advantage of it so he can gain his weight back. So I appreciate everybody's help in sending him a blessing.
Oh, we certainly will. We certainly will. And, before we get off the subject of the book, would you mind writing a review on the new book?
Oh, I wouldn't mind at all. I would love
to. The reviews are so important. And it's not just for people coming to buy the book who already know they want it. The thing is, Google and the other search engines pick up those reviews and distribute them. So it brings new people to come and look. And it's one of the best ways you can tell the world about the book.
Okay. I can do that. Thank you.
I would so appreciate that. And one other thing I could say for your friend, and that is about the steam distilled coconut oil. It is not only food grade, but it's medical grade. It's used for treating critically ill people in the hospital and premature babies because they cannot digest most fats. And that's something you might want to suggest to him.
Okay. I think I can actually take him some. I have a bottle I could share some.
And let him try a spoonful in a smoothie or something, because he needs fat, but right now he won't be able to digest meat or some of the heavier fats, the saturated fats. He won't be able to do that.
Okay.
But this will help him gain the fats that he needs.
Okay, Glenda, I sure will do that. And thank you so much for letting us know that.
You're welcome. And I try to spread the good word as much as I can.
Yes, you do. You do.
I do my best. Okay, my love. I'm going to take someone else's call. Julie, I see you're on the line. Hi.
Hi, this is Julie. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, very good. Well, pleasure to speak with you. Happy Father's Day and belated Happy Mother's Day to everyone as well. Your conversation with Tony was reminding me of something, kind of bringing something up for me, in that as you were talking about, you know, external wars and skirmishes, my thought, and I think you were sort of suggesting that, is sort of an external out, or can be an external out picturing for something we are feeling or experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've been noticing recently is an attachment to a discomfort, whatever that may be, and how it's easy to get attached to that discomfort. And then kind of run a whole, you know, ego thing through it. And more recently, I've been able to notice when I'm getting into that attachment and let it go, and then go into my heart. And I felt like you were suggesting from kind of like a, for lack of better words, kind of a global perspective, if we're seeing something on the news or even this the next 3 months, to collectively be in our hearts for that. But on a personal level, anyway, that's what it was reminding me of, a personal level, so I just wondered if maybe you could comment on that or give some thoughts or tips on that or just anything around that.
Well, actually, Julie, you brought up a very important point, because I think it's easy to see things on the news that are an external conflict and disattach from those so that we can go into prayer, meditation, or find something joyful in our personal life to bring us back around to the quality of life we want. But what's really hard to do is what you're spotting, and that is in our personal world to get attached to things that really are of the world. They really are. There's, you know, maybe a mosquito bit us, and we're just really mad at the mosquitoes. You know, it could be something as simple as that, or we had a disagreement with a neighbor. That's really in the external world, and we don't have to stay attached to it, and we don't have to keep our ego in it. We can still disattach. Those are the things that are hardest to disattach to. The closer it gets to us, the more we confuse it with ourselves. That's what really takes the astuteness. And one of the ways that I have allowed myself to get through that is by, well, something I was noticing just two nights ago. I was just sort of relaxing, sitting up on my bed with a cup of tea, and I was just looking through my day and seeing how one person had just been going around doing this, another person had just been going around doing that, and I was thinking, you know, I don't have to agree or disagree because it's just so interesting to watch them do whatever they're doing. They're just doing their life and going through the process of handling their situation. And I kind of felt like, and I imagine everybody's had this experience at least once in their life, like being on a sidewalk cafe, people watching the traffic in the street, people walking by, other people at other tables in the cafe, and you're just there being a neutralized observer. And Larry walks in and he says, "What are you doing?" And I told him what I was doing. And he said, "Well, that's wonderful. Now the next step is just be all of these people. Allow them to be an extension of yourself and then be neutral." And I thought, oh, wow, that is the next step. But for a minute or two, I was actually able to do that. I just allowed myself to be all of these people and inside of them be neutral. And you know what? Before the day was over, I got an email from some of them saying, you know, I was really so upset about something earlier, and then it just kind of all blew away. And I thought, that was about the time I stepped inside their world and neutralized it. So I think that's what Yeshua does for us. He steps inside our world and helps to neutralize the issues for us because he just allows us to see that it's just the world passing by. And that's one of the ways he described his life. To the apostles, he said, "I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world." And that was his way of saying, "I'm in the world, but I am a neutral observer inside the world. And I'm just letting it pass by, and I neutralize as much of it as I can."
Well, thank you so much, Glenda. And just a follow-up question. So if you can get to that point where your awareness is that person or that event, then are you just feeling your, whatever you want to call it, your discomfort and then staying with it till it just kind of falls, disintegrates or goes away?
To quote Gautama Siddhartha, whom we call the Buddha, he said, "Pain is unavoidable. Suffering is optional." We take pain and turn it into suffering by objecting to it and resisting it and polarizing with it. And so what happens when you can be in that neutral space is that pain stops being suffering. That's the first thing that changes. And then the pain becomes even itself a little more optional. That's not to say that it completely goes away, because some forms of pain just have to be endured until the cause of it has been healed. But it's no longer suffering, and even the pain is reduced. There are people that can go through root canals with no anesthesia because they understand this principle. So I'm not at that point, so I can't tell you how to get to that point. But I can tell you that by being at this point I described, you can remove all the suffering from your life, where the only thing left is the unavoidable pain, and the unavoidable pain is cut down by maybe as much as 50%.
Okay, I appreciate that so much. And so I guess what I'm getting for myself is in that space to maybe just kind of surrender and to just release the attachment and let it kind of flow through.
Yeah, not surrender in the sense of giving up, but in that you just neutralize yourself. You
right.
just neutralize your attachment to it. It's not something you have to do something about.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to say.
Okay. Julie, I understand you're coming to the seminar in Austin next weekend.
I'm looking forward to that so much.
Me too. And anybody else on the call that's anywhere within driving or easy flying distance to Austin, just let me know. I'll tell you how to get there. It's going to be on Saturday, well, a week from yesterday, Saturday afternoon in Austin. And it's going to be, it's the first time in about 12 years that I have had a gathering just on the subject of love without end and the keys of Yeshua. Now, we've done blessing seminars. We've done lots of special topic seminars, but just to be in a public gathering for the books. And it's part of our celebration of the 20th anniversary. I'll be doing more of that. So please come if you can. I'd love to see you, and I'll see you next week, Julie.
Yes, I look forward to seeing you and everyone else. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And let's see. We've got a couple more callers on the board. Oh, yeah. Even more since I stepped away. We've got a caller from area code 719, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, everyone. This is Tara Kim from Colorado, and I was just
Hi.
Calling. I was wanting to thank everybody for the blessing for last week for my husband for the surgery. The doctor did say it went awesome, and it was a six and a half hour surgery, so it was definitely lengthy and stuff. So, but
wow.
Yeah, it was quite the experience. So he's recovering now, and I was just wondering if I might request a blessing for his continued recovery and healing process, because it's pretty
extensive.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and I just so appreciate the blessings. It's been very pivotal, so thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. And remember what I just the discussion that Julie and I just had about suffering and pain.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much.
Because he will have some pain, but he doesn't have to turn it into suffering.
Okay. I will definitely pass that on to him.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we have Stormy on the call. Hi, Stormy.
Yes, Glenda. A special blessing of my father, my greatest teacher. At age 6, I started to stutter, and he spent the summer with me, and every time I would stutter, he would just look at me and say, Stormy, slow down. I cured my stuttering, and he also told me I could be anything and do anything that I could do. Many great lessons that I received from my father, including my music. He was one of my greatest music teachers. And I am the epitome of my father out of 4 boys.
Oh, blessings to your father. And I'm sure he's looking down on you right now.
Yes, he also, a third lesson, he taught me about not everybody is comfortable with angels. And that was a good lesson I learned from him when I showed him the angel pictures that you gave me so many years ago, the photographs. He finally just says, Stormy, I'm not comfortable with angels. And I just stopped because I didn't ask why, or, you know, I just respected that for whatever reason, the son of three generations of Nazarene preachers, he wasn't comfortable with angels. So,
okay.
Sometimes, you know, not everyone's comfortable with that conversation. So,
you know, that's
lesson.
True. And actually, that's a very good example of how even with sometimes the most positive subjects, not everybody's comfortable with them. It's just not part of their consciousness, the way their mind and heart is set up.
Yeah, I could see the fear in him, or for whatever it meant to him, it was very uncomfortable for him, and I could.
Well,
could see
you know,
that.
there are a lot of people who have experienced teachings about the Great War of Angels, where there were, that resulted in many fallen angels. And they just think it's a subject better left alone. So, I'm very grateful I'm not one of those people. But I respect those who feel that way.
He memorized every sermon of his father and his grandfather. He knew them all by heart.
That's great.
And, wasn't a minister himself. He had a falling out with his father for whatever, but the fact that we're quite the builders of Nazarene Church in the Pennsylvania and Baltimore area is a nice legacy in our family name, and I continue on in my own way.
That's great.
Thank
well,
you.
Stormy, it's always a pleasure and a blessing to hear from you. And we will remember you in our blessing today. We've got two more people that I want to take very quickly. So thank you, and may the angels be with you.
Oh, they are.
Desmond, I'm going to open your line.
Hey, Glenda. Good day to you.
Hi.
Thanks for the blessing for my brother last week. He needed it a lot. And he has a bit of a drinking problem, and I don't know if prayer is enough, but he definitely needs some prayer for it. He needs help with his drinking problem.
Okay. All right. We've got him on the list. What's his name?
Thanks, Glenda. Joshua.
Oh, Joshua, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. We
Thanks,
do.
Thanks, Glenda.
You're welcome. And Sarah, I think this is you.
Aloha, Glenda.
Hi.
Community. Aww.
It's getting pretty scary when I start remembering phone numbers.
Oh, that's good. Oh, thank you so much. So much for the blessing of the oils. I've noticed when I also work with them and bless myself with them, other people receive the blessing. People around me say things about it, and I'm like, just feel them. And so thank you so much.
That's great. And yes, they do. It changes the energy around you. The essential oils will change the energetic field around your body. And that's how they affect what you attract or what you radiate.
Mm.
And both of those factors, either radiating or attracting, can definitely have an impact on your environment and on other people around you.
Yeah.
And this is, it's not about aroma. It's about energy.
Mm.
You know, you could put perfume on and it will have no impact whatsoever, except that you may offend a few people.
Yep, yep.
But it will have no effect on the energy field at all. Not at all. And the essential oils, you can only smell, usually only about
in what I would call the zone of intimacy, about 3 feet out from your body.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't last all that long, maybe 3 or 4 hours. But the energy that it changes in your field can last for as much as 24 hours.
Mm. Wow.
So it's a really, really good practice. And this is the way plants communicate with each other, with the earth and with the birds and the bees and everything that they coexist with. It's how they communicate, because they communicate by changing the energetic fields. And if you think about it, for just a moment, that's all a satellite signal does, is it conveys an energy signal through a field to a specified device that will receive it. That's all it does.
Wow.
So, you know, finally, we're not as sophisticated as the plants are. I mean, really. I mean, it's kind of laughable to say that, but it's true. I mean, when it comes to energy, they're the masters.
Yeah.
Really, if the plants were gone, the energy field of this earth would be gone.
Wow.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
It would be gone.
Yeah.
Wow. You could think, and some people do think, well, we could go to Mars, and if we set up appropriate underground living quarters that were supported in a certain way with the oxygen we need and the water and the food, et cetera, we could live there. We couldn't.
Mm-mm.
We couldn't.
Mm-mm.
Because the energy field, there is no energy field on the planet that can support life.
Yep.
So it's more than just an ecological problem that we're creating with our plants. Our plants are really the masters of energy on this earth.
Yes. Yep.
And it's not an accident that they were created before the animals.
Mm-hmm.
Not an accident. They were essential before animal life could be created.
Wow. Wow.
So, everyone always be mindful to bless and thank,
mm-hmm.
all of the plant life around you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even the weeds. They're part
mm-hmm.
of it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I can't stand grass burrs when I track them in the house, but then it's my fault that I track them in the house. So, I try to be more careful.
Yes. Yes.
What can we do for you today, Sarah?
Thank you so much. I want to ask a special three special blessings. One for my dad, Peter. And
okay.
Yeah, and he's a farmer himself and such a lover of plants and taught me so much about joy, and I just love him so much. So a special blessing for him. And then also for my niece, and her name is Nani, Nani. And really just all young women. She just turned 18 and it's hard. She's having some hard stuff about that. So for her and for all of our young women and young men, and for myself, that I just have had this little kind of cold in my throat. And so a special blessing for my healing and for all of our bodies and their healing.
Okay, you've got it. Just
thank
be in
you,
peace. And cold is usually the result of resisting something.
Mm.
So take notes on some of the things we said about letting go of resistance.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Find out what it is you've been resisting and just neutralize around it.
Mm.
It doesn't mean that you have to approve of it. There are all kinds of things in this world I don't approve of, but I neutralize or try to in relation to them, because they're just part of life passing through.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
And actually, this is something we all have to learn, and that is the things we don't like will pass through faster if we don't resist them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard lesson to learn, but it's absolutely true. And there's a thousand ways you can demonstrate it. Have you ever noticed a child throwing a tantrum and you just don't pay attention to him?
Mm-hmm.
That tantrum doesn't last very long. If you fight into it, it could become a full-scale parent-child warfare that ends up in hurt feelings and possibly punishment that doesn't neutralize for maybe 24 hours. If you just ignored it, it might have gone away in 5 minutes. Okay, we've all seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just with kids, but with anybody. It could be anybody acting up at the office or on the highway or in the grocery store or wherever. You know, let it pass.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you approve of it. In fact, I think the most effective way of disapproving of anything is to ignore it.
Yeah.
Because that way you don't pass judgment, but you also don't give it any energy.
Right.
And nothing likes to be ignored.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yep.
I mean, really, it is true. So all of those out there in the audience who have a sense of humor, I'm sure you're smiling right now. And with that thought, let's just go into our blessing. Let's let Yeshua in so he can help us neutralize all the things we've been resisting and help us bring come closer to the blessings, abundance, understanding, enlightenment, love, and attainment we've been seeking. Okay? Everyone, just get comfortable in your chair and take a deep breath, surrender into your heart, and be with God. Just know that there is a place within you where God lives. There is a place within you that you touch every night in the deepest of your sleep. And that's why you wake up with a new day. You don't wake up with a new day because you slept. You wake up with a new day because you touch God. And that's why when you wake up, it's very appropriate to say, thank you, God, for a new day. And make it a new day. And it's very appropriate to say the same thing after you've received a blessing. So let us begin. I'm going to say my prayer to Yeshua. And then you be in your prayer as the blessing givers conduct this very, very special sacred energy. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, brother to us all, Son of God, today we come to honor the Father of us all, the one who created us in his own image, to discover within ourselves that spark of life, that acorn that fell from the tree, that we may be in our heart, inside the heart of God, and know that we are loved as a child to the Father. We thank you for giving your life to show us that eternal truth, for being with us, and showing us how we can make every day of our life a better day. How we can be in the world, but not so resistive to it, therefore attracting more of the blessings, more of the opportunities. And by releasing our suffering, give our bodies, our souls, our hearts, and our minds a better chance of healing
and returning to our balance point. Even though we may face challenges in the days ahead, let us walk through them without polarization, without resistance or judgment, that we may still find our place of peace within whatever happens, and knowing there's a plan on the other side. We ask all of these things in your blessed name. Amen. Let us begin. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you can complete your receiving by resting for at least 7 minutes. Just be still. Don't even continue your prayer. Just be neutral. Be still. Be quiet and know the presence of God within. Bye-bye for now. And I hope to see you again next week.